Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2523 with a release date of Friday, March 6th, 2026 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in Cuba assist a critically ill child. Canada is silencing its national weather radio. And students in Germany plan for a QSO with Antarctica. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2523 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Jonesboro, Arkansas, here's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Quick thinking by hams in the midst of a power outage in Cuba are being credited with connecting a critically ill child with urgent medical care. We have the details of that story from the newest member of the Newsline team, Dave Lee, M7TLB.
As an outage swept through several communities in the municipality of Rio Cauto in eastern Cuba, disabling electric power and the telephone service, a six-year-old girl lay feverish and in pain, her 12th hour of suffering. The doctor treating her at the family home in Granma province suspected appendicitis requiring emergency transport. An outage resulting from a power grid failure prevented him from directly contacting an ambulance. The physician turned to a father-son team of amateur radio operators, Jorge Bonilla Menegra and his son Edgar Bonilla Menegra. The hams, however, found that their own radios were also without backup power because of the fuel shortage. That is, until a neighbor let them make use of the battery from his motorcycle. The general call was received by Santiago de Cuba by station CL8YDY, who was able to connect with the emergency system. The station is listed on QRZ.com as being in Santiago de Cuba. The call sign holder is Yonedris Garcia Rodriguez. According to various media reports, surgery was performed at the hospital and was a success. This is Dave Lee, M7TLB.
Wrapping up another year of action taken against unlicensed radio broadcasters, in the United States, the FCC recently submitted a report to federal lawmakers summing up its enforcement activities in the fiscal year 2025. We have those details from Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Since Congress enacted the Pirate Act, an acronym for Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement, the Federal Communications Commission has been responsible for reporting its annual activities with the enhanced powers it was given through the January 2020 legislation. Its most recent report covers the government's fiscal year for 2025, which ran from the 1st of October 2024 through the 30th of September 2025. According to the report, the FCC issued 28 notices to property owners or managers for permitting illegal broadcasts from their premises. 17 of those were directly related to one of the so-called pirate sweeps the FCC conducts, concentrating on five markets found to have the most pirate stations. In the same period, the FCC went directly after the pirate operators themselves, issuing 6 forfeiture orders and 10 notices of apparent liability for forfeiture. Separately, it entered into 3 consent decree agreements with radio pirates. Each agreement contained a 20-year compliance plan. It is not known what the total monetary penalties will ultimately be for any of the violations issued, even though the amounts specified in the original Pirate Act have increased over the years. Adjusted for inflation, the penalties now carry a maximum of $122,661 in U.S. dollars per day and a U.S. dollar maximum of $2,453,218. Although the FCC is responsible for these enforcement actions, the agency does not collect the amounts. That task is given to the U.S. Department of Justice. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Is there anyone who would turn down a chance for a contact with Antarctica? A group of students will get their chance this month in Germany. With more of those details, here's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
All eyes will be on the project known as Future Geo, to be presented at Bochum Observatory's Bochum Space Day, to be hosted by AMSAT-DL. The program is taking place on the 28th of March, in conjunction with Germany's Space Day and Day of Astronomy. Much anticipation surrounds the proposed geostationary amateur radio payload, which is to succeed the QO-100 satellite, providing access for Europe and parts of North America, All ears, however, will be on the scheduled contact to be made between students and the Neumayer 3 research station, GP0GVN, in Antarctica. The observatory's director, Thilo Elsner, DJ5YM, will lead the activity. Youngsters and their families are also being invited to participate in a full day of activities organised by the European Space Education Resource Office of the European Space Agency, SRO Germany, was established in Bochum in 2018. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
The 2026 National Hurricane Conference, taking place in Orlando, Florida from March 29th to April 2nd, will again include amateur radio workshops. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has the details.
Amateur radio workshops at the National Hurricane Conference will include presentations by such leaders from the ham community as Rob Macedo, KD1CY of the VOIP Hurricane Net, Josh Johnston, KE5MHV, ARRL Director of Emergency Management, Julio Rapol, WD4R, Assistant Coordinator at WX4NHC, and Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, Net Manager of the Hurricane WatchNet. Graves gave Newsline a preview of a new program he will be presenting, built around the theme Impact. While Category 5 hurricanes may get more attention from the media, some tropical storms may make a greater real-world impact than bigger weather events. For amateur radio operators, one report can make a difference, can make an impact. As Graves said, your reports matter. With Julio Rapol scheduled to step down this year, he may be introducing his successor at WH4NHC during the workshops as well. If you can't attend in person, the forum will be live streamed on the Hurricane WatchNet YouTube channel. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The United States isn't the only country enduring cuts to its weather forecasting programs and services. This month marks the end of Weather Radio, a service of the Canadian government's Environment and Climate Agency. John Williams, VK4JJW, has those details.
Canada's National Weather Centre is ending its weather radio service, which has been available on VHF since 1976. In a decision driven by budget priorities and what the agency called declining usage, the forecasts are going silent on the 16th of March. Officials are instead encouraging the use of a free mobile app or an interactive weather map on their website. Upgraded in 2004 to accommodate digitally encoded signals, the nationwide system has provided local and regional forecasts in English and French. The reports have been transmitted on the same frequencies used in the US by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's weather radio in the 162 megahertz frequency range. Amateur radio operator Michael Izak, VE3HA, who is also a radio communications consultant, told the Toronto Sun that he was concerned about the weather service's demise. He told the newspaper, quote, "These stations are often used by people who travel to areas where there is no cell service. It's invaluable for getting updated weather forecasts," end quote. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the AA9JR repeater in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Fridays at 6 p.m., Saturdays at 10 a.m., and on Sundays at 8 a.m. via All-Star Link 47970 and All-Star Link 50508 and the W3QV repeater. The committee, reviewing recommended changes to Australia's amateur band plan, has released a set of new revisions, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
The Wireless Institute of Australia's Technical Advisory Committee has fine-tuned its recommendations for changes to the amateur radio band plan after reviewing more than three dozen submissions. It is now recommending that the emergency communication channel on 40 metres be aligned with IARU Region 3 on 7.110 MHz, that the SSB portion of the 6-metre band be widened, and that 1.87 MHz and 3.686 MHz be chosen as the AM centres of activity for 160 and 80 metres. The committee's full document, which reaffirms its other original proposals and clarifies use of the FM analogue ATV band, has been published online. Visit the consultation webpage using the link provided in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
It's been 20 years since amateur radio had a presence on one small island in the Arabian Sea off western India's coast. The DX India Foundation is renewing the attempt it made last year to put the island back on the ham radio map. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us what to expect next.
Heavy rainstorms last year cancelled the plans of the DX India Foundation to activate Anala Island. The island, one of India's most coveted sites in the IOTA program, carries the designation of AS-169. Sarath VU2RS announced recently on the DX World website that he is hoping to bring a three-day activation there starting on the 1st of May. There has been no amateur radio activity on the island since 2006. A successful activation would not only fulfill one of the relatively new foundation objectives to activate rare iotas, it would also put Anala Island in the logs of eager chasers everywhere. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, Claudio HB9OAU will be operating holiday style as D440A from Boa Vista, IOTA number AF086, Cape Verde, from the 18th through to the 25th of March. He will be operating CW, SSB, RITI, and FT8 in Foxhound mode on 40 through 6 meters. Tom, AA9A, is on the air as PJ7AA from St. Martin, IOTA number NA105, from the 8th of March through to the 4th of April. Listen for him on 40 through 6 meters, where he will be using CW, FT8, FT4, and some SSB. Listen for the call sign T31TTT. That's the Rebel DX group on the air from Central Kiribati starting on the 25th of March. This activation could last as long as 2 weeks. Their main modes will be FT8, FT4, MSHV, SuperFox, and MSHV Multistream. There will be several stations on the air and on various HF bands. John, W5JON, will be on the air as V47JA from St. Kitts, IOTA number NA104, from the 10th through to the 18th of March, using SSB and FT8 on various bands. For QSL information on each of these stations, visit their pages on QRZ.com. Ask anyone whose home station includes a tower, and they'll probably tell you that sometimes being all the way up there in the clouds has its drawbacks. The owner of a mobile phone tower in Longview, Texas, and two passengers in a hot air balloon would no doubt agree. Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, has our final story for this week.
A hot air balloon with two passengers aboard was blown into a cell phone tower standing 925 feet, or more than 280 meters high, in Longview, a city east of Dallas, Texas. The crash on February 28th left the two passengers dangling near the top of the tower as the balloon became entangled in its guying cables. Emergency crews from police and fire departments responded. As rescuers climbed using several ropes, they battled the same strong winds that had led to the crash, working for more than an hour to free the passengers in what was deemed, quote, a rare high-risk operation, end quote. They were brought down safely. The scene in Texas was reminiscent of an incident in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 2024 when a hot air balloon crashed into a tower of a radio station, KKOB AM. The three passengers on board that balloon were also rescued safely. This is Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
With thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, AMSAT DL, AMSAT News Service, Associated Press, CBS News, Cyber Cuba, CTV, David Behar, K7DB, DXWorld.net, FCC, 425DX Bulletin, KSDK-TV, NBC News, QRZ.com Forums, Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, SW Elling Post, Toronto Sun, Wireless Institute of Australia, Zero Retries, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Jonesboro, Arkansas, saying 7-3. As always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2026. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material, even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.